It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, Ebro, and with me, as always, to discuss another NFL draft prospect profile is my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. Adam, you ready to talk some Kenny Gainwell today, man?
We dropped the Rashad Bateman episode with Thor, so you can listen to that, get set for that, and then we're going to have more dropping throughout the week. It's just a constant, it's like a conveyor belt, right? It's just prospect profile, prospect profile, prospect profile, and you're good to go. Also, the All-Star break for NBA is coming up, so even more time. You know, if you're playing a lot of NBA DFS, which, by the way, check out FTNDaily.com, during the All-Star break, you just dive into all these prospect profiles we've done. It's perfect timing.
Dude, it has been fantastic. The amount of content coming out of FTN Daily, and I want to sidetrack this for a second here before we get rolling about Kenny Gainwell. It has been awesome, dude. I mean, I put out a tweet the other day. We've got content going across multiple sports. You're talking about NBA. You and Mets over at the NBA podcast for FTN are killing it, dude. We've got NASCAR. We got esports. March Madness is coming up, dude. We got that package rolling out. All these guys are putting out all kinds of content. I mean, look, just to say the amount of content and the quality, the bar is set high. Like, I don't know a damn thing about NASCAR DFS. Did I run a few lineups and bank a few tournaments this last week?
I saw that.
Yeah. That's because we have awesome content creators across all kinds of different sports, betting and DFS, man. If you're not signed up yet, please get signed up today. Your sub is going to pay for itself, man. I mean, it's just fantastic content, regardless of whatever flavor of sport or DFS you are playing. Get signed up with the promo code FTC today. Save 10%. All right, man. We got to hop into Kenny Gainwell. Get this massive ship rolling here, dude. You look at Kenny Gainwell coming out of Memphis. He opted out of this last season, but going all the way back to 2019, standing at 5'11", 195, age 22, college dominator at 60 percentile. His yards per carry in college was a 79th percentile, standing at 6.3. Really the biggest box that we're going to discuss about this guy, and it jumps off the page, Adam, 91st percentile college target share of 13.8% in 2019 at his age 20 season. The guy, look, he has a varied skill set. And if you go all the way back to high school, you kind of see why. 3-year starter in high school as a quarterback. He was a 3-star prospect coming out per 24/7 Sports. He was actually recruited to Memphis as a wide receiver. And whenever he hit campus, then he switched to the running back position. In 2019, the stats jump off the page, Adam. 14 games, 231 rushing attempts. Dude had over 1,400 yards rushing, 16 total touchdowns, logged 51 receptions, and 610 receiving yards. Adam, off the top, man, what jumps off the page for you with Kenny Gainwell?
Yeah, I mean, that production, and you mentioned how he was recruited as a receiver, and if you watch him, you believe it immediately. But the production was great. At Memphis, they lined him up everywhere, right? He took a ton of snaps as a Wildcat quarterback, played in the slot a ton, played out wide, and obviously played in the backfield. He, I think, has like 3 career drops. Like, he is so good as a receiver, probably the most fluid and just skilled receiver in this draft class and among the running backs. Like, I tweeted out a clip, and there was multiple clips I watched when watching him where he makes adjustments to the ball when it's thrown behind him. Like, there was one where the ball was thrown behind him and he adjusted like with great body control, made the catch, and then broke a tackle and ran like 40 yards down to like the 10 yard line. And it's not just like he's obviously a mismatch for linebackers because of his ability to run routes and everything. But, like, he's going to win against corners in the NFL. He won against corners mm-hmm. in college. Like, he is extremely gifted as a receiver. And that's going to give teams, whoever drafts him, a ton of versatility with him, which is what a lot of these teams are doing nowadays. So, yeah, that was obviously really encouraging. obviously opted out in 2020, so we didn't get to see him last year. But, you know, there's plenty of film on him. We watched a lot of it, like you mentioned, almost 1,500 yards. I think he had a stretch where he rushed for 100 yards or more in, like, six straight games. Had 300 all-purpose yards in one game. Like, he is just a super versatile player who is going to immediately be a dynamic receiving running back, at the least, at the NFL level.
And that's – you talked about his varied skill set. That's something I want to hammer about Kenny Gainwell and what I think his fit could be for the NFL. I really don't know if Kenny Gainwell is going to be a guy like we were talking about with Michael Carter in previous profiles. And you need to go back, check that out, and all of our thoughts on Michael Carter and what his transition could look like to the NFL. I think Kenny Gainwell is a guy that's being discussed with Michael Carter as like that RB4, RB5 range for this draft class. And it's interesting, man, because I view them very, very differently. Like Kenny Gainwell, I look at his skill set, and I think that he is a guy that needs to go to a team that's going to be smart and use him in a variety of ways. Because you're talking about a college man, and we look at this profile of his going all the way back to high school. But Memphis did that with him. 25 quarterback snaps in 2019, and he lined up outside or in the slot on 15% of his snaps. You look at his film, and his film is littered, Adam, with snaps of him in the slot or as an outside wide receiver, Adam. Like,
you had to have that little circle drawn to know where he is because he lined up everywhere.
Dude, like he was literally as an outside wide receiver, and there were multiple plays where they got this dude not just running like easy slants or just making him break down and just design screens. He was running posts. He was running out routes.
Curls. Like,
his receiving ability and the ability for a team to use him as a true, true chess piece, I think is going to be fantastic for not only his transition to the NFL, but the longevity of his career. Because we're talking about this, Adam, his use in the passing game, I actually, and a lot of people might not agree with this because of his proficiency as a runner and what they see of him as a running back. I won't be surprised if a team drafts Kenny Gainwell and converts him to wide receiver. And I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm not going to be surprised if that happens, dude, because the ability that he showed to win versus cornerbacks on the outside, I think was different than when you're talking about other running back prospects and you're like, okay, he could run routes really well. Oh, he's a good pass catcher. And it's like, they're getting a ton of dump offs. They're running a few screens or design screens, or they got a few reps or angle routes.
It's like after Leonard Fournette's. Remember after Leonard Fournette's last year in Jacksonville, where he caught like 80 balls or whatever, and everybody's like, "Oh, he's a good receiver." Like he's not. Like we saw that last.
No, he's not. He's not. He just runs. He gets dump offs, man. Like any running back can freaking do that, unless your name is Jordan Howard.
Right. Like heyday Le'Veon Bell running legitimate routes down the field. Miles Sanders, Christian McCaffrey. Like those are the types of routes that, you know, Kenny Gainwell's running in college against corners, not just, you know, linebackers that he's got. And Kenny Gainwell's not even, we'll talk about it, he's not the fastest running back by any means, but like still against a linebacker, it's a mismatch. But even against these corners, without that,
he had multiple routes where you're looking at him and making adjustments and catching back shoulder throws.
Yeah, man. Dude, go watch that clip. I'm sure you saw, but it was so dope. It was
there was multiple plays versus Tulane where you saw him as an outside wide receiver and legit, like there's two to three plays where he caught a long one. He adjusted to a back shoulder throw. I think there was actually two of them in that game. Yeah. And so looking at him, I know we're talking about all this prowess and pass catching and stuff, but if you look at his transition to the NFL, he's a good running back. I don't think that he's a great running back as far as a runner per se. I think his vision is good. He's able to get small and get through creases. I think that his burst is okay, but it's not overly exciting, man. Like his use as a running back, and I know that his stats jump off the page when you look at what he did in 2019 for Memphis. I'm not trying to throw shade at the guy, and I know we're talking about his strengths, but I got to talk about, like, we've spent a few minutes here talking about how good of a receiver and his abilities to win in that area. We got to bring up what he could do as a running back and some of the shortcomings leading us into weaknesses. Like, I think that he's a good running back prospect. Do I think that he's a great running back prospect? No. And I think that that's where there are some differences when you're talking about him versus other running backs in this class in their transition to the NFL. Like, I think that his, like I was talking about, his vision is good. His burst is okay slash good. I don't think that it's excellent. I don't think that it just wows you. I'm not going to be surprised if he's a guy that doesn't really test amazingly, man. And we see all these comps get thrown out there of like Theo Riddick and all these other running backs that run these 4.6s that don't have fantastic measurables. And I don't hate those comps because I think that Gainwell was a guy that, like, you watch it on the film, and whenever the times come out, I'm not going to be overly surprised if the times are not fantastic. And we see a lot of, like, if fantasy Twitter and draft Twitter just like, ooh, well, like a little bit of surprise, then I'm not going to be surprised, Adam.
No, we'll talk about, I'll save but my comp for him, but it's a similar situation where it's like, I agree, he doesn't have that crazy burst, and that's probably why he probably won't get drafted until the earliest of the third round. We've seen that with a lot of running backs that don't test extremely well in the 40 times and stuff like that. Obviously, this year is a little bit different, but as a runner, I think most, I don't want to say most people, but a lot of people that watch him will just assume like, oh, okay, he's not a tough runner, but like he actually runs harder than you think. Like he'll put his shoulder down and try to run through guys. Now, obviously at his size, listed as 5'11". We both agree that we don't think he's 5'11", right?
Yeah, I don't think that he's 5'11". I'm not going to be surprised if he measures in like, I mean, like 5'9".
And a half.
Yeah. I think he's going to come in at 5'9". And I know Max Preps had him even listed coming out of high school at 5'10". I don't know, man. I mean, that's a generous 5'10", 5'11". When you watch him on field, if you look at what he's listed at, to put it this way, he looks small on film to me.
Yeah, he doesn't play small, but I agree. Like, he runs harder than you would have initially think. And yeah, he's definitely elusive. Like, he has good vision. He's a good, you know, open field cutter. But like just from a pure athleticism standpoint as a runner, like nothing like really wows you about him. But he obviously makes up for that by being just a completely natural, fluid, incredible receiving threat, not just out of the backfield, but, you know, as a wide receiver out wide in the slot and stuff like that. And like you said, played quarterback in high school. Played a lot of Wildcat. Reminded me of like Cam Akers' usage as his in his last season in college. Now, obviously, not the same type of prospect, but just the usage of having that experience, having the ball in your hands in multiple different situations will definitely help him. You know, at the NFL level.
And we're going to lean into some of his areas of improvement, or we think that are some of the holes in his game. I'm going to lead us off here. I mean, I know that you talked about it. You gave a little more love than I'm possibly going to give here about his tackle breaking ability. I'm not saying that he falls down with somebody.
It's not a positive. It's not a strength.
No. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that somebody touches his shoestrings and he's falling down, but he's not going to be a tackle breaker. I think to get him into space, I don't see him as a guy, and I know his film has him ripping multiple long runs. Like versus Navy, he took one for 75 yards, but did you look at that game? Outside of that 75-yard run, his other 13 carries, he had 29 yards on those carries. And Navy didn't have a bad run defense. Like they were 16th in line yards allowed, 30th in stuff rate. They were a good run defense, and I know we're talking about level of competition here, but I don't think that Kenny Gainwell, he's going to need an offensive line that can open creases for him. I don't think that he's going to have the speed and the burst to sit there and break long runs, especially as not as many as we saw on his film. And I think that he's going to need a middle of the road, if not an above average offensive line to really capitalize on anything.
And he's going to need a zone rushing scheme too, 100%. Okay.
I mean, look, if you look at just his metrics last year, Adam, amongst 200 running backs with 75 or more rushing attempts, he was 78th in yards after contact per attempt. That's not great, dude. I mean, it's not absolutely terrible. Like, I'm not sitting here calling the guy a slug, but for what I think that people will look at his stat line and they'll look at what he did at Memphis, and also they marry that with his film, I think that he's going to get talked up, or at least he's going to be seen as a bigger, more more explosive player than what I come away with.
That's definitely fair. I'd also add in terms of weaknesses, like pass protection, definitely not a strength. That could be a concern if you want him playing on passing downs. But again, we'll talk like if he's used more as a receiver, then that doesn't really matter at all. So that's why landing spot and scheme and everything is going to be really important. Like Najee Harris, Javonte Williams, like where they're going, where they're drafted, they're going to play. We know that. Same with Travis Etienne. But for Gainwell and Michael Carter, some of these other running backs we talked about as of late, it's going to depend a lot more on scheme and landing spot for those guys because they're probably not going to be 18 to 20 touchbacks right out the gate, if at all, unless, you know, an injury happens or something like that. And then the other question mark is he going to be used at the goal line at all? Again, also depends on if he's used as a receiver or not. But I do think, like, I don't think he runs and we talked about the other weakness of, like, doesn't have the elite top-end speed by any means. But I think he runs harder than other people might think. But again, at the end of the day, it's not a strength of him breaking tackles like you talked about.
We're talking about the plus of him having a varied skill set. The other thing about that is he's not coming into the NFL as a polished running back prospect. I mean, just simply, you're talking about a guy that played quarterback in high school. You're talking about a guy that was recruited as a wide receiver. He was used in multiple ways, which is a feather in his cap transitioning to the NFL and how a team could use him. If he goes to a smart team, but as a running back coming out, is he a guy that I think that a team could look at and say, okay, we're going to put you in a running back room and we're going to expect good things from you, especially in year one, if we just put you in the backfield and just let you go. You know, so I think that there are still some refinements that he needs to make or he can make to his game, as well as just not having a long history of playing the position. You know, so there's a lot of different ways you could parse that out. I mean, is it impressive of what he did considering the limited time that he has played the position? Yes. Does that mean that he enters the NFL as a polished prospect or a guy that we think that when you put him in an NFL in a running back room, that he is going to show out the way versus guys that have been playing the position since high school? So, you know, for the last 8-9 seasons or years, like, no, possibly not, you know? So that comes down to like how much experience he has playing the position versus like just overall skill set and talent. You know, so I think that in saying all of that, I think that he needs to land on a team that is going to use his skill set, especially what he has available to him and what he succeeds at right now. So, I mean, let's dive into this, Adam. Where do you think is looking at your closest comp for him and landing spots?
So when I watched him as a runner, and when I look at the measurables and everything, and the fact that he's probably not going to time extremely well in the 40-yard dash. As a runner, very, very reminiscent of Devin Singletary. Remember, Devin Singletary drafted in 2018, fell the third round because he ran a 4.6 40, and that was the huge knock on him. Like, good enough running back, but when other running backs are clocking way higher in the 40 time, you're going to fall. I think that's very similar to Kenny Gainwell, especially with the way he runs. Both have really good abilities to cut. Both have good enough vision. The difference is Kenny Gainwell is like three times the receiver that Devin Singletary is. So I think as a runner, he reminds me of Singletary. And then there's obviously like the theoretic comps as a pass catcher. Like he's extremely gifted there. But I think as a runner, with how similar they're built, like Singletary is like 5'8". And we talked about how we don't think Gainwell is actually 5'11". So I think they're going to be closer in terms of height, 40 time, weight, everything like that. So I would say he's a more versatile, better pass catcher, better pass catching version of Devin Singletary.
And I don't hate that. I think the differences between that and we always talk about this, no comp is perfect and stuff like that. I think Singletary and his ability to succeed as a rusher, and what sets him apart, I think his vision and I think his lateral agility is a lot better than Kenny Gainwell. Like I would agree. See a ton of jump cuts, a lot of lateral movements in the open field from Kenny Gainwell. I think that honestly,
Singletary is a better tackle breaker for sure.
Yes, I agree absolutely. So I think that where he lacks as a rusher versus Singletary, he makes up obviously in spades as a pass catcher. And we're talking about a team that is going to use him in multiple a variety of ways. That leads me into my comp for him, and I look at him and I see Kevin Faulk. I see a guy that is going to be used in the passing game. I see a guy that if he's thrust into a lead back role, is he going to be efficient? Probably not. Not flashy, not great, but can he handle 12 carries if he's called upon? Like we're talking about Theo Riddick in that year with Detroit, where he was called upon to be their lead back, and they were basically running through the pass. A team could do that if they were pressed with Kenny Gainwell, but in a perfect scenario, does that probably happen outside of, you know, just a injury-riddled depth chart? Probably not. So I think that Kevin Faulk is a guy that if you look at even the way that the Patriots used him back in the day, the last season that Kevin Faulk played 15 full games, he was used 17% either in the slot or outside. And that's going to lead me into landing spots, man. Like, I want Kenny Gainwell to go to a team that's going to use him. You need a smart coach that is going to use Kenny Gainwell in a variety of ways. And so I'm going to throw out a few different landing spots here because the draft capital for Kenny Gainwell is going to be really, really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. I could see him going in the fourth round. I honestly could see him possibly if he goes out and he runs like a 4.640, I see him, he could slip to the fifth round. And people consider and listen to this and just roll their eyes at me because I know there's a lot of love for Kenny Gainwell and what he did that one year at Memphis. I'm not trying to hate on him, man, but there's a division sometimes between what draft Twitter thinks about players and what the NFL tells us and shows us that they think about players. So I think that his testing measurables are going to play into this, but we're looking at landing spots. Like, I could see him going in the fourth round at 134 to a team like New Orleans, who could use him as a wildcat quarterback, who could use him in the slot, outside, as a wide receiver, in a multitude of roles.
So you just want more touches taken away from Kamara, huh? That's what you want.
I mean, how do you think Taysom Hill's going to play quarterback, possibly? Somebody's got to fill the Taysom role, right? No, I mean, to be honest, though, like, I want him to go to a smart head coach that's going to utilize
him. That's a good point. I've thought about this the last, 2 minutes.
Okay.
I think best possible scenario is Kenny Gainwell gets used like Curtis Samuel was used last year in Carolina.
I do not hate that. I actually really like that, and that's not one of the teams that I have written down. I don't hate that at all, man. The other two teams that I got written down here, and we're talking about varied use, I could see San Francisco possibly in the fifth round at 157, or even in the fourth at 118. Probably not in the fourth because of a player like Kenny Gainwell. I think that if he falls to the fifth, maybe. And I know people are going to say it's a lazy one-for-one because I'm bringing up Kevin Faulk's name, but New England makes a ton of sense.
They were on my list. Sony Michel and Damon Harris were fine, but you also can just – they have the worst group of pass catchers in the NFL, bar none. It's not even a question.
Yeah, could they use him outside and as a slot wide receiver? Possibly, yeah. Man. I mean
– I'm going to be honest. I think the Patriots have the worst group of pass catchers I've ever seen. Since I started covering the NFL and fantasy and stuff, it might be the worst I've ever seen. And I watched some Bills teams led by, Andre Holmes at times and Kelvin Benjamin. They're really bad. They're really, really bad.
It's not great, man. I mean, so we're talking about the Patriots have two picks in the fourth round, two compensatory picks at 139 and 146. I could see Kenny Gainwell falling to that spot. And, dude, depending on what they do at quarterback, that's not a bad landing spot. Do you know what running back also happens to be an unrestricted free agent walking into 2021? James White, dude. So could they look at Kenny Gainwell to fill that type of role in this offense? I think it's plausible, Adam. I really, really do.
Yeah, and I'll add, I think he goes anywhere between the third and late fourth. If that happens, hate to say it, but Jacksonville, I mean, they're going to want more weapons. They can use another running back that can catch passes behind James Robinson. You worry about him in pass pro a little bit, especially when Trevor Lawrence is going to be your cornerstone, but that can make a lot of sense. I'll also add the Giants again. I talked about them with Michael Carter. They want a better backup running back, but I think Carter would be a better fit. But if they kind of decide to wait and go, okay, we'll wait until the fourth round or something, Gainwell could possibly be there for them as well.
Yeah, I don't hate any one of those fits, man. All right, everyone, that is our prospect profile for Kenny Gainwell. again, if you are just now tuning in, this is your first episode, welcome. Stay a while. Unpack your bags. And get entered to win the signed Calvin Ridley jersey we are giving away, man. Head over to the Twitter account, at ChalkFade on Twitter. Also, pull up your iTunes. Give us a rate and review, screenshot said review, and slide into the DMs on the Twitter handle. And you are entered to win, man. We hit 200 reviews. We are giving this thing away. Adam and I are going to be back discussing more draft prospect profiles for the NFL draft. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at APPfeiffer24, and at ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.